about the power of Jesus' resurrection, his resurrection power and his resurrection life that is available to us as believers. Today, I'm going to talk about that, and next week on Easter, I want to bring a message that's going to be encouraging, that's going to be relevant, and it's going to be powerful because I believe people need to understand that Jesus is alive and that he is, and his power is available to us as believers. And so turn with me, like I said, to John chapter 11, and we're going to read together, as our habit is, we're going to read together a couple of verses, verse 25 and 26. Many of you are familiar with these verses. And verse 25 and 26, we're going to read them in the New King James. So if you don't have that translation, just follow along on the screen. And we'll read it out loud together. Of course, there's many good translations. So let's read verse 25 and 26 out loud together. Go. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? So Jesus is talking to Martha, actually, and he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. See, that means that in Jesus, death has been defeated. In Jesus, he has conquered the grave. And that when we're in Jesus, his life, his resurrection power blows down any of those walls that I was talking about earlier. See, in Jesus, there are no dead ends. And he can take anything that we think is a dead end, is a failure, is a done deal, hopeless, nothing can happen, and he can turn it around and he can resurrect it and bring it back to life. Isn't that true? Somebody give me an amen. You know, but I noticed that sometimes it's hard for us to understand that. See, sometimes what we'll do as believers is we'll kind of settle for a theory of Christianity rather than the reality of it. We'll sometimes, because of this natural world we live in and things that we struggle with, and we struggle with the same things everybody does, whether believer or unbeliever, but the difference is we have God on our side. But sometimes we can kind of dumb down the power of God. Maybe that's not the right way to say it, but we can kind of lower the standard, lower our expectations. You know, sometimes even it's hard for us to conceptualize that God and God's power could really break in and change things. You know, I know for me, let me relate it to back when I was a little kid. Kids think some funny stuff, right? Kids think the funniest stuff. You know, ever, you know, like, I don't know about you guys, I love jokes, and I love all that stuff, like, you know, kids say the darndest things, or I love kids' jokes. I love it when they say, like, you know, kids say funny stuff about God or the Bible or heaven or anything, right? I just love anything like that. I think kids say the funniest stuff. My kids say crazy stuff. And I know as a kid, when I was a child, I thought some really silly things. I bet if we all got around and just talked about, like, hey, tell me something like that you thought as a kid that you were really... I think we would laugh, right? I'll share with you one. But check this out. This little girl, let me tell you a couple ones about kids. This little girl was on her way home from school. She had to walk from school to home about 3 blocks. But today, on that day, there was thunder and lightning. And so her mom was concerned, of course. Oh, no, there's thunder and lightning. Maybe my daughter will be scared. And, of course, this mother wants her daughter to be safe. So the mom decides, hey, I'm going to go and I'm going to pick up my daughter from school. I'm going to try to meet her on the way. The daughter was maybe 7, 8. And so the mom goes out and she's going to meet her daughter. And she sees her daughter down the street and the daughter's walking. And whenever the lightning flashed, the daughter would stop and smile. And then she'd keep walking and then the light would flash and the daughter would stop and smile. And her mom's thinking, what is she doing? So the mom goes over, hey, honey, how are you doing? Were you scared? No, I wasn't scared. Hey, what were you doing? You know, why were you stopping and smiling? She says, oh, God's been taking my picture. Isn't that funny? That's cute, isn't it? How about this one? Did you hear about that boy that went to church one Sunday? He went to church on Memorial Day. And at church, in the foyer, they had a list of names of all the men and women from that community that had served in the military, had given their life for our country. And they were going to honor the people in the service and such like that. And the boy was in the foyer before church started, and he looks up and he sees a list of all these names. He doesn't really know how to read yet, but he says, "Daddy, what's all that? What are all those names?" And the dad says, "Oh, those are all the men and women who died in the service." And the boy looked at his dad with horror. I mean, his face went pale. And he went, "Which service? The 9 or the 10 a.m.?" You know, sometimes as kids, we think the craziest stuff, huh? Okay, check this out. Let me tell you about me. So I remember as a kid, I thought some crazy stuff, right? It's just hard to conceptualize things when you're a kid. And I remember I'm probably 5 or 6 years old. We're driving down a freeway. And my dad's driving, and I'm in the back seat, of course. And I look up, and I'm obviously able to read. So I look up, and I see a sign that says, "Freeway ends 1 mile." Well, I never really even knew what a freeway was. I don't understand these things. So, I mean, as a kid, you know how you just, like, interpret things, right? I see freeway ends 1 mile, and in my kid imagination, I see a brick wall. I'm thinking, oh, shoot, right? So I said that to my dad. I still remember to this day, "Oh, no, Dad, the freeway's going to end." You know, I mean, I'm thinking, "We're all going to die. You know, get off the freeway," or something like that. Well, obviously, we all know as adults, when the freeway ends, it turns into a street or something. You're not going to die. You're not going to run into a brick wall. But isn't it funny sometimes, right? I mean, thousands of years ago, they thought, shoot, if you sail too far, you're going to fall off the edge of the earth or something like that. And sometimes as kids, we can do that. But I think sometimes as believers, we have a hard time understanding the spiritual realities of the gospel. We have a hard time understanding that God has conquered these things, that he's Almighty God. You know, it's like the disciples, they kind of thought spiritually childish sometimes, right? Jesus was trying to tell them, "Hey, I'm going to die, and then in 3 days I'm going to rise again." And they were like, "What's he talking about?" You know, they were kind of over here. They were like, "Maybe it's a metaphor," you know? They just kind of like ignored what he was saying. I think a lot of times God is trying to get some things into us. He's trying to do some things in our life. But it's like there's something between our ears. Man, Lord, you're like, "Lord, it's not calculating here," you know? And we need the Lord to do something inside of us to change the way we think. See, because like when I was a kid, I saw the freeway sign and I'm thinking, "Oh no, it's over. It's ending. Dead end." But like I just declared to you a few minutes ago, in Christ, there are no dead ends. Jesus will take a dead end and he'll turn it into a new beginning. See, what you and I see as a failure, he sees as an opportunity to grow. What we see as sickness, he sees as an opportunity for healing. What we see as defeat, as we lost, he sees as an opportunity to overcome. Do you hear what I'm saying? Our God is the God of victories, the God of answered prayers, the God of supernatural intervention. Our God is victorious. Our God is the God of the miraculous. We see things as impossible. We use that word. Man, that's impossible. But when God sees something that looks impossible, he sees it as an opportunity for a miracle. Nothing is impossible to God. See, so we come up against things, financial things, sickness, maybe foreclosure. We come up against things where we mess up, maybe even our own sin. And we'll use words, you know, right? We'll use words like, "Oh, it's hopeless. It's impossible." Right? We even use words like in a car accident, we'll say, "Oh, it's totaled." Right? Like, it's just done. There's no hope, you see? And when we think of the word death, we think of final, finished. Nothing can change. That's why we use that word, dead end, right? We'll use that word, deadline, you know, dead end. We'll use that word to mean final, done, because in our minds, that's it, but not for God. See, I wonder sometimes, it's kind of like thousands of years ago when people were sailing their boats and they thought, "Man, if I go too far, I'm going to fall off the end of the earth." I wonder if that's kind of how we are. Like, we're thinking, "Man, that thing's impossible. Nothing can change." And God's over here thinking, "Just wait till I open your eyes. Wait till I show you what I can do. Wait till I show you the power that is available to you." This is what the Lord wants to do. See, he wants to be that in our lives. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. I am the resurrection and I am the life. That means in Jesus, there is no death. He conquers death. He overcomes the grave. And not just physical death, but he overcomes spiritual death to give us eternal life. And other things in our life that we feel are final, like our failure, our sin, our sickness, he overcomes those things and he breaks into those situations. See, that's what the Lord wants to do in your life. God wants to be your resurrection, your life. The Lord wants to break into your situation. Think about that for a second today. Is there an area in your life that you consider a dead end? That right now you're thinking, man, that's a dead end. I blew it. It's over. There's areas in your life that you feel like are walls that you cannot get victory in. You feel like, no, that could never happen. And you think it's impossible. The Lord is saying to you right now, it's not impossible. I am your resurrection and your life. And I can take that situation, if you'll let me, if you'll let me invade that situation, I can take it and I can take that dead end and I can make a resurrection out of it. I can take that dead end and I can bring a transformation out of it. That's what the Lord wants to do. It says right here in 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What the Apostle Paul is saying there, what is he saying? Look, he's saying Christianity, our faith in the Lord, the reality of the kingdom of God, it's not just about talk. Our faith is not in an idea. Our faith is in the real power of God. Our faith is not in a religion, but a resurrected Christ. See, our faith is not a fairy tale. Our faith is not even just something that's in the past. Not just something that, it happened. God was in the past. Or sometimes a fairy tale where we think, well, yeah, one day God will do it. One day. But the reality is that our faith is in the resurrected Christ who is alive today. That's why he says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. He doesn't say I was. He doesn't say I will be. See, Jesus is not the great I was. He is the great I am. He's not even just the great I will be. He's trying to say in our lives, I am the great I am. I am the resurrection. I am the life. It's today. It's right now. Your ever-present help in time of need. I am the God who comes into this day, into this situation to bring you life, to bring you a resurrection. See, that's who our God is. That's how God wants to be in our life. And so think about that. What is that dead end, that financial dead end, that relational dead end, that area where you've been struggling to believe God? That's where the Lord wants to break in. That's where the Lord wants to bring a transformation in your life. He wants to bring a total makeover. He wants to bring complete freedom. He wants to give you complete victory because he's the resurrection and the life. I know for me, when I was younger, as before I came to Christ, so I came to Jesus when I was 16 years old, and the Lord did a great work in my heart. But I remember before I came to Christ, I had heard about the Bible. In fact, I had read most of the Bible as a skeptic, trying to figure out, is God real? Is Jesus real? And so I had kind of researched some things, but I really didn't know the gospel. And to be honest, I know for me, I didn't believe that I could be a different person. To me, sin was the impossible. I remember even saying to somebody, my friend who ended up leading me to Jesus, I remember saying to him one day, we were at a track meet, I had just ran track, and I remember we were up on the bleachers, and I said to my friend, oh man, now everybody's a sinner. I mean, we're going to sin every day. See, and that's the kind of way, that's the way that a lot of Christians talk. Man, we're just sinners. We're always going to sin. And so many believers, they don't see that there is even a possibility that I could stop sinning in that area. For me, it went beyond just sinning, though. It wasn't just that, man, there are some things the Bible says not to do, and I was doing them. And I was stuck in them. And for me, actually, it was deeper than that. I had a deep insecurity, and I really did not have a purpose. And so here I was in high school, and I know this isn't just for people in high school because I've met adults who were like this, you know. And I didn't have a vision. I didn't have a hope that I would be different. I didn't have a hope that I would live for anything bigger. And so, man, in high school, I would just go to parties and drink. I'd just get wasted. I didn't have anything else to do, right? just trying to find joy. I was trying to find intimacy, intimate friendship. I was trying to find connection. And so I would do these things. But even more than that, I remember, I forgot about this until this week. The Lord reminded me, man, I would write like stories and poems, and I would read books that were all dark, really dark, like horror books and really dark things. And I had forgotten about that. And what it was is that, man, I was just in that darkness. There wasn't that hope. There wasn't that life. And I didn't really believe. I didn't have any reason to believe that, man, I could be different. I could be different. I could make a difference. I could be free from those sins that I didn't like, that they were what they were doing to me. And I know if the Lord didn't set me free. I know if the Lord didn't catch me when I was 16, I would have just kept going down that path. Maybe I would have gone to college and been successful on the outside. But, man, I would have just been eaten up on the inside. I just praise the Lord. He delivered me. And so what happened was my friend, he began to share the gospel with me and share with me that when we come to Jesus, Jesus takes my sin and he gives me his righteousness and he gives us the power of his righteousness. I'm going to share some more of these verses next week, how the Lord gives us the ability to walk in freedom. And I began to believe it. I still remember I was 16 and I began to believe, oh, God, you love me. Jesus, you died on the cross for me and you rose from the grave. And I began to believe the promises in the Word of God that say that I'm a new creation, that I'm dead to sin and alive to God, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I began to actually believe that by the power of God, I could walk in freedom. And that's exactly what began to happen. Amen. I began to believe the Lord and cry out to the Lord and believe him to invade my situation. And I'm telling you, anger began to break off my life. Depression began to break off my life. As a young man, I was stuck in lust, and lust fell off my life. And I began to walk in a freedom and a confidence and a joy even to this day. It's not that I don't mess up or fall down or say things I shouldn't say to my wife. But it's that, the Lord, by his power and his grace, sets me free. See, now I see any problem. I see any kind of struggle I might have, you know, like with my temper or, you know, with being patient with my kids. And I see that not as like, oh, I can never change. I see that as, oh, God, I need you to change me. And I look to the Lord and he changes me. Little by little, I keep growing, I keep changing, but it's because of the power of the resurrection. And see, that's what I love about the story of Lazarus in John chapter 11, because it's a story of a person's dead end. Not just a person, a whole family. They said, man, it's done. And Jesus steps in and changes everything. Because he stepped into that situation as the resurrection and the life. Look at this here. In John chapter 11, in verse, In verse 17, it says, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. So Jesus shows up and he finds out Lazarus, who, by the way, was his good friend, and his sisters, Mary and Martha, were all good friends of his. And he finds out that his friend is not only dead, but has been dead for 4 days. 4 stinking days, because that's how he would smell right there. By 4 days, the body's starting to rot. They've already put him in the tomb. They've already closed the tomb. They've already been like, dude, it's done. See, in our human way of thinking, like I was saying earlier, man, that's it. 4 days, it's a done deal. You get what I'm saying, right? You lose your job, it's like, man, that's done, right? So you get bad news, it's done. And we feel like, man, it's done. Sometimes we wonder, man, how come the Lord didn't answer that prayer? How come the Lord didn't come through? Sometimes we'll get disappointed with the Lord. Sometimes we'll get discouraged. Like, man, he didn't show up. Sometimes, you know, the Lord's going to pay that bill. And, now I got late fees or something. And you're thinking, how come the Lord didn't come through? But do you see what happened right here? Man, Jesus was 4 days late. 4 days late. Do you know how Mary and Martha were thinking? Look at how they were thinking. Right here, it says in verse 21, now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, listen, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Look at that. She's lecturing Jesus. But she's saying what she believed. Lord, 4 days ago he was sick. If you would have showed up 4 days ago, you could have healed him. He wouldn't be dead right now. Why weren't you here? Why didn't you answer my prayer? Why didn't you come through for me? See what she's saying? She's really struggling. But notice her faith. She believed Jesus could heal. But she didn't believe Jesus could raise him from the dead. I mean, maybe, okay, Jesus, I heard about that one little girl where she died, but like you brought her back to life in an hour. You know, maybe you kind of resuscitated her or something like that. Lord, you know, that's good. But 4 days? Come on, right? Ain't no blood in the system probably, starting to drain out. Right, you know what I mean? It's like nothing happening now. Decomposition is already starting to kick in. They didn't even know that back then, except that they knew it smelled, right? But like, they're like, it's done. And so her, and then Mary says the same thing in verse 32. She says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They said the exact same thing. See, think about that. So often we're just like Mary, we're just like Martha. Not that that's bad, but we get discouraged. We see delay, we see obstacles, we see unanswered prayer, and we can get offended at the Lord. Right? We can kind of lecture him, and I prayed and you didn't come through. We can get discouraged, and we can kind of tell the Lord what he can and what he cannot do. Right? It's like, oh, I could believe him for this, but oh, cancer? And all of a sudden now cancer is bigger than God? As if he couldn't heal that? As if he doesn't have a solution for that? See what I mean? All of a sudden it's like, man, you know, I could believe God for 10 bucks, but 100? You know, whatever. It's, you know, somebody else, man, I can believe God for 100, but 1,000? See, there's always like this limit in each of our minds, kind of like a glass ceiling that we kind of think that God couldn't do that. But notice what the Lord is doing. He's stepping into a situation that is absolutely dead and impossible. He's stepping into this situation where Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. 4 days. And I love the way Jesus talks. He says it this way in verse 11. In verse 11, Jesus says, our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up. Don't you love that? Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Man, he hears, oh, hey, how long he's been in the grave? 4 days? Oh, that's all right. He's just sleeping. I'll go wake him up. You know? It's like it doesn't even faze him, you know? His faith is not shaken at all. He already declared, earlier in verse 4, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So Jesus already declared, he already believed, man, it doesn't matter if he dies, I'm going to raise him from the dead. See, sometimes we think God has to do it a certain way, at a certain timing, but that's not always the case with the Lord. You know, and sometimes we can kind of say religious things too, to kind of make ourselves feel better. Look at the way Martha talks there. Back in verse 21, she said, Jesus, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. And then she goes on to tell Jesus in verse 22, but even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So, I mean, that's her speaking faith. That's true, right? If Jesus asks for anything, he can do it. But notice what he responds to her. Verse 23, Jesus says, your brother will rise again. See, Jesus is looking at this situation, and he's saying, no, he's going to rise from the dead. But listen to the way she responds to Jesus. Verse 24, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And that's when Jesus responds to her, I am the resurrection and the life. See, what she's saying, she in a sense, in the midst of her suffering, in the midst of her questions, in the midst of her the lack of a miracle, she's saying, well, I know one day it'll be good. One day in heaven. One day God will bless. One day. And we can do that sometimes, right? We can say, well, you know, God has a better plan. People say kind of some religious things. They're not in the Bible, you know. Well, God knows what he's doing. You know, everything happens for a reason. And we say things like that even though they don't line up with the Word of God. And we can kind of do that to God, right? No, you know, God, I know you got a better plan and things like that. And in a sense, it seems like we're trusting the Lord. It's not that we're not trying to trust him. But what we're really saying is, I don't really believe you to break into this situation. Like it's done, you know? thinking, it's okay, Lord, you missed the timing, you know? It's okay, Lord. You know, I know this one's a hard one for you. So it's okay, but I know in heaven it'll be okay. I know in heaven. And so we can have a faith that's a by and by kind of faith. And that's not wrong to believe the Lord for great things in heaven. I don't mean that. What I mean, though, is we can just say, oh, one day. But Jesus is saying, no, I am the resurrection. I am the life. And he's trying to tell Martha, no, he's going to rise today. I'm going to break into this situation. And of course, Jesus is also talking about one day we're all going to live with God forever. He's talking about that too, but he's saying, no, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power that's going to transform the whole world when Jesus returns, he's saying, no, that power is in me. And if you're in me and you're trusting in me, that power is going to change your situation. And so he's trying to help Mary and Martha to catch this. And this is what we need the Lord to do in our lives. Listen to this in Romans chapter 12. It says in Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And listen to why. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, what's Paul saying? Hey, listen, don't think the way the world thinks. And he's not just saying, don't think like the way the world thinks and be conformed and controlled by the world in the sense of like sinfulness. He's saying that in every area. Hey, don't think like the world. Don't think limited like the world. Don't think, hey, I got to do it on my own human effort like the world. And don't think like, oh, I can just live my own life like the world thinks. No, he's saying, listen, think the way that God wants you to think. See, what happens a lot of times is what hinders us from seeing the power of God break into our life is, like I said, it's between our two ears. It's our limited way of thinking. And the Apostle Paul here is saying, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I need the water of God's word to wash away wrong ways of thinking. Maybe human traditions that have kind of snuck into the church, into preaching, into the Bible, sometimes our way of reading the Bible. We need the Lord to kind of sweep that out, wash away wrong ways of thinking, limited ways of thinking. And notice why Paul says this. Listen, you need your minds renewed. You've got to have your minds changed. It's like we're thinking down here and the Lord wants to lift up our way of thinking to his level. Remember when the Bible says God's ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts? Well, a lot of times we'll just kind of say, oh, God works in mysterious ways. You can never know God's will. You know, we can kind of talk that way and it sounds spiritual again because we're trying to honor the Lord. But that's not what that verse is talking about in Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55, he says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. But God is trying in that verse to get his word into our mind. He's trying to get us to think like he thinks. And that's exactly what it says here. It says, have your minds renewed, listen, that you may prove, everybody say prove. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? See, so many believers, they don't think they can know God's will, but the Bible says we can know God's will. We can know God and we can know his will. We can ask him, we can find his will in the word of God and know what the Lord wants to do. I'm not saying there's not mystery in life. I'm not saying we know, can figure everything out. I don't mean we can put God in our little box. What I mean is that God is knowable and he wants his will to be revealed. But notice what has to happen. We have to change our thinking. We have to let the word of God show us what God is really like, that he really is powerful, he really is good, he's really for us. And that changes our thinking. Why? So then we will prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What does that mean to prove that God's will is perfect? Does that mean we walk around and like showing people, see, God's will is perfect, see, God's will is perfect? Like, what does that mean? Does that mean like we're somehow approving that God's will is perfect? Yeah, God, what you want to do, that's good. Like we're telling him what's right and wrong? No, it's a very interesting verse. It says that you may prove, or other verses say approve, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me give you an example. Somebody ever make you like really good barbecue? You know, and they're like, hey, try it, right? And you take that rib, and you bite into those ribs, right? And what do you do, right? Your eyes light up, yeah? Your mouth opens up, and you say, this is good, right? I feel that way with cookies, personally. You know, somebody bakes some cookies, and they're right out of the oven. Actually, yeah, Tommy baked some cookies on Wednesday or whatever. Man, he comes over with some peanut butter cookies. I was wanting some peanut butter cookies. Man, I ate that cookie and I said, oh, that's good. And now I know he makes cookies, so dude, he's like he's got to make more for me. But that's what it means to prove the perfect will of God. That you taste and see that God is good. You experience God's goodness. God breaks into your situation. You cry out to God and he answers your prayer. And you say, you are good. Your ways are right. You are a good God. See, that's what Mary and Martha experienced. That's what Lazarus experienced. They experienced the Jesus who is resurrection and life, break into their situation, answer their prayers, take death and turn it into life, and they were able to glorify God and say, your will is perfect. That's what that verse means. See, we need that kind of revelation of the Lord so that we can say, yeah, God, your ways are right. This is exactly what Paul was praying in Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to this prayer. It's a very important prayer. Paul is praying for the church. He's praying for that renewing of the mind. And he says, I pray for you that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Well, that's a mouthful, by the way. But he's saying, I'm praying that God would show you who he is. By the Holy Spirit, that you'd get wisdom and revelation and know God. And then he goes on to pray these things. He says, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Right? Basically, that God would just turn on the light, boom, in your mind. And you would get it. You would catch it. And listen to what Paul is praying that they would catch. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. See, Paul is saying, I'm praying that you would have hope, that you would know what the hope of the resurrection of Jesus, the hope of our salvation is. He's praying, I pray you'd know the riches of your inheritance. He's saying, I'm praying that you would catch that God has an inheritance for you. That is not just, oh, I just want you forgiven or I just want you in heaven. No, God has promises for you, an inheritance for you. And then he says, and I pray that you'd know, you'd understand the power of God that's available for you. And he noticed what he says, available for those who believe. See, what Paul is saying is there is so much that Christ has done for us. There is so much that God wants to do in our lives. He wants to bless us. His power is available for us to bring breakthrough in our lives. But Paul's saying, you've got to catch it. You've got to have that light turned on in your mind. You've got to have your mind renewed by the Word of God. See, Paul's praying that way. I'm praying that way for you. I've been praying that way for people for years. Oh, my passion since I came to know Jesus and I caught these things was, Lord, I want people to come to know you if they don't know you. But if they do know you, I want them to know you even more. And the cry of my heart has always been, Lord, it's not just that I want people to know that they're forgiven, but that to receive their inheritance. That's what Paul said in Acts, I think it's 28:26, where he says, I'm called not just to lead people from darkness to light, but from light into their inheritance. See, God has something for each of us, our calling, the blessings, the promises of God, and the Lord wants us to grab hold of all those things. And that's why it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, we need the word of God to constantly be in our ears, constantly wash our minds, constantly build up our faith so that we can believe God, because the Bible says that his power is available to those who believe. See, we need to be people who say, oh, I believe that God could do the impossible. I believe that God could bring a resurrection. I believe that God could bring life into this situation. We need to be people like that. And in order for us to have that kind of faith, we need his word to change our thinking. This is why Jesus says in chapter 11 again, he says to them in verse 39, listen to this. He says, take away the stone. I love that. Jesus is going to raise this man from the dead. But before he does it, he tells them, move the stone. Isn't that crazy? And listen to what they say, of course. They say, Lord, by this time, there's a stench. For he's been dead for 4 days. I mean, they're like, Jesus, that's a bad idea. But you notice what he's doing? He's activating their faith. He's telling them, listen, I'm going to raise him from the dead. And he could have just called forth he could have been like, tell the rock to move. But you notice what he did? Hey, guys, you move the rock. And there's a lot of things like that in our own lives where the Lord is saying to you, hey, you got to lift up your eyes. You got to lift up your voice and pray. You got to step out and go for it. You know, sometimes we get discouraged and we give up and the Lord is saying, no, make that phone call again. No, No, apply for that job over there. No, don't give up. Do it again. Do it again. Sometimes, right? We're like, nah, it's hopeless. And the Lord's saying, no. And what he's trying to do, he's trying to get us to do acts of faith, not supernatural things, but the Lord's saying, no, you move the rock, I'll raise the dead. You step out in faith, and I'll come through and break into that situation. So they do, of course. They're kind of, listen to what he says in verse 40. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Do you see what he's doing? Trust me. Just step out in faith and see what I'll do. So they're like, all right, you know how we all are, right? We're like, well, I don't really think anything's going to happen, but because God told me to do it, I'll do it anyways, right? And so they do it anyways. They move the rock, and this is what Jesus says. I love it. He says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me. And then in verse 43, it says, now when he had said these things, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And it says, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Oh, that's powerful. Man was dead for 4 days. He was starting to decompose. And all Jesus had to do was, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened was Lazarus' spirit came back to his body. His body was healed, and he came out of that grave, rose from the dead. You get what I'm trying to say here. This isn't just about Lazarus. What's your Lazarus? What's been dead 4 days for you? What's the dead end in your mind that the Lord wants to show you? No, nothing is impossible for me. I'm not limited in any way. If you'll let me break into your situation, if you'll cry out to me, if you'll just move that stone and believe me, you will see the glory of God. You will prove the perfect will of God. Because I will break in. I will answer your prayer. See, Jesus is trying to tell you today, I am the resurrection and the life. I am your resurrection. I am your life. See, what is he trying to tell us? See, sin can be forgiven. Transformation can happen in our life. We can walk in freedom as believers. Sickness can be healed. Terminal illness can be cured in the name of Jesus. Nothing is impossible for the Lord. I have watched the Lord do this time and time again in my life and in other people's lives. I've seen complete transformation in people's lives. I've seen foreclosure turn around and the Lord rescue people from bankruptcy and things like that. I've seen in my own life freedom and victory. I've seen a man who tried to commit suicide, bound by demons, and the Lord heal his mind. And he walks in confidence knowing that he's saved and he's being a blessing to other people. I've watched this happen. I've watched divorce turn around. I've watched cancer healed. I've watched blind eyes open. I've seen these things. Sometimes I've ministered to them. Sometimes I've seen it happen. I've seen people get out of wheelchairs, walk. Why? Because God is real, and he's good. And because he is the resurrection and life. Jesus is alive. And just like he did those miracles in the past, he's still doing them today. And he wants to do them in your life. He wants to do them in my life. See, nothing is impossible to the Lord. He can heal any brokenness, turn it into wholeness. He can take any failure and bring restoration. That's what the Lord wants to do. I was thinking about this. You've heard that verse in Isaiah 61. It says that God will take beauty. I'm going to say he'll take the ashes and turn it into beauty. He says, I'll give you beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes? Well, that's crazy if you think about it. Beauty for ashes? What? How do you get ashes? You burn something, don't you? You burn it until it's ash. Like, there's nothing left of that thing you burned except for ashes. You could take a house and burn it down, and that's all it is. Ash. You can't rebuild a house from those ashes. And yet, what does the Lord say? I will give you beauty for those ashes. How does he do that? That's a supernatural resurrection. That God could take ashes and make new life out of ashes. And that's what the Lord wants to do in your life. You feel like, man, hey, there's some areas in my life. No, really, it's been burned down. They're ash. You've closed that door. And the Lord is saying, I'll open that door. And I'll bring salvation. I'll bring redemption. It could be a wayward child that needs to come back to the Lord. right? It could be a job that's been lost. It could be debt that just seems insurmountable. And the Lord will be the resurrection and the life and break into that situation. But that's what he's saying to you today. Would you let me? Would you let me come into your situation? Like Mary and Martha, they had some ways of thinking that needed to be changed, but would you let me come in? Would you believe me? Would you move that stone away and let me call forth that Lazarus in your life? That's what the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants to speak to that Lazarus. He wants to speak to that dead end. He wants to speak to that thing in your life and say, Lazarus, come forth. I was thinking, let me end with this here. In chapter 12, it says this. In verse 17, therefore the people who were with Jesus, with him, when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead, bore witness. For this reason, the people also met him because they heard that he had done this sign. This is on Palm Sunday. I always wondered, why were all those people gathering around Jesus with the palm branches and shouting and cheering and saying, Hosanna? I mean, there was tons of people. And Jesus rode on a donkey into Jerusalem, and there's all thousands of people cheering for Jesus. And I think to myself, man, how did they know about all that? And you know what? This verse tells us exactly how they heard about it. It says right here that the people who saw Lazarus raised from the dead, they went out to Jerusalem and they told everybody about it. They were like, dude, I'm telling you, that man was dead for 4 days. And Jesus raised him from the dead. And so everybody got super excited about Jesus. And they were like, man, we want to meet Jesus. And that's exactly what happened. It says, for this reason, do you see that? For this reason, the people also met him. You know, that's what they were doing. On Palm Sunday, they wanted to meet Jesus. They wanted to see him. But why did they want to meet him? Man, that's the one that raised that guy from the dead. And they also wanted to see Lazarus. They were like looking. The other verse says, they were like looking. Hey, where's the guy that he raised from the dead? They wanted to see the God who does miracles. And I want to encourage you that way as well. See, if the Lord has brought a miracle in your life, if the Lord's doing something in you and the Lord's doing something in our church, don't miss the opportunity to invite people, like even for Easter, let's not miss that opportunity to invite them that they would meet Jesus. Because that's really the point, isn't it? That people would come, they would hear the word, they would meet Jesus and have his power break into their lives. See, so the Lord works a miracle in our lives, but he wants us to turn around and bear witness, to testify and to tell other people, hey, God's doing something. God's doing something in my life, and he wants us to spread.